For most of the opportunities I've been given to preach to you, we have been going through the gospel according to Mark. And so today we will continue with Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. And they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the new wineskins, and wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." May the word of the Lord bless us this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask again that as we consider your word, we ask, Lord, that it would affect our lives and our hearts. And Lord, that we would turn to you, that we would look to Christ alone. This we ask. Amen. Christianity is like no other. What do you make of this statement? True Christianity, that is a Christianity that is founded upon the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is like no other. It is unique and matchless, completely incompatible with any other religion or belief system. For decades, centuries, even for two millenniums, peoples and societies have been trying to mix Christianity, the good news of Jesus Christ, with their religions, their customs and traditions. But the fact remains that the gospel of Jesus is one of a kind, unique, exclusive and incompatible with any religious tradition or custom. The gospel of Christ is like no other. World religions focuses on man. The Christian gospel is Christ Jesus. Religion is about what man can do. The Christian gospel is about what Christ has done. Religion is about making oneself better. The Christian gospel is about being made new and Christ-like. Religion is about being good enough to be accepted. The Christian gospel is about being accepted by grace. Religion is about man's achievement. The Christian gospel is about divine accomplishment. Religion is about the mind and head knowledge. The Christian gospel is about the heart and a deep knowledge of Christ. Religion is putting confidence in man. The Christian gospel is complete trust and assurance in Christ. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. The Christian gospel is God come down to save his people. We could continue all day marking distinctions between the world's belief systems and the Christian gospel, but I believe the point has already been made clear. Christianity is distinct and incompatible with any other religion or belief system. Now, this is what our text this Sunday is all about. I believe this is a subject that needs to be addressed, something we must often be reminded of. Christ himself addressed it And three of the four gospel writers saw it necessary to include it in their gospel writing, this narrative, this discourse between Jesus and the religious Jews. In this discourse, Jesus draws a clear distinction between his disciples and the adherents of other religious structures. The distinction is simple and obvious. Christ's followers look to him alone, whereas the religious trust their religious piety, activities, and good works. So let us look at our text and consider this discourse. Beginning at verse 18 of Mark chapter 2, it reads, "The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?'" Let us remember the context. Jesus had just called Levi, a tax collector, to follow him. And Levi, in response to God, to Christ's call, arose from his tax office, left everything and followed Jesus. Levi had now met his Savior. He had now met Christ. Jesus was now Lord of his life, and he would no longer separate himself from Jesus, his Lord. This was Levi's conversion experience. And so Jesus was now dining in Levi's house. And Levi had invited many tax collectors and sinners to this feast so that they too would meet Jesus the Christ. Now the religious Jews would have no interaction with tax collectors and those whom they called sinners. They believed that to mingle with tax collectors and prostitutes, to mingle with those who rejected Jewish laws, and to mingle with Gentiles was seen by the religious Jews as condemning oneself. And here Jesus is openly feasting with these godless people. The religious Jews were incensed. "How can this so-called Messiah of the Jews eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" To the religious Jews, tax collectors and sinners were the worst of the lot. Unsavable, unpardonable, already condemned, defiled, children of the devil. Yet Jesus welcomed these sinners to the kingdom of God, giving them hope of eternal life through him forgiving their sins. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel of Christianity. It is God transforming the sinner, giving them new life, new birth in Christ. But the religious Jews did not understand that. They were holding on to their traditions and customs. They could not accept sinners being accepted into the kingdom of God. Now Jesus, knowing the thoughts of the religious Jews and hearing what they say, he said to them, this is in verse 17 of Mark 2, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This would enrage them, because Jesus was revealing to them the faulty state of their religion, calling out their self-righteous works. Jesus was saying that the only way into the kingdom of God is through repentance. And there, and in repentance and faith, because of Christ, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Now it is in this context that the religious Jews continue to question Jesus here in verse 18. They were deeply unhappy with the gospel Jesus was preaching because the gospel of Christ excluded their religion. The gospel of Christ was something new. Their religion was something old. And you cannot mix the new that Christ brought with their old religion. And as they look into Levi's house, seeing Jesus and his disciples dining and feasting, their religious ways are brought into question. The religious Jews saw themselves as the righteous ones. They believed that for anyone to be accepted by God, they must be as pious as they are in the observances of the religious laws. Now, on this particular day, the religious Jews were fasting. And they believed that any sincere Jew, a true seeker of righteousness, would be observing the fast. But instead, Jesus and his disciples were feasting, eating and drinking. You see, what Jesus and his disciples were doing is that they were not meeting the expectations of the religious Jews. And so they questioned Jesus. But it's not just a question. They are in fact bringing an accusation against Jesus and his disciples. Jesus, why aren't your disciples fasting? Look, the disciples of John the Baptist are fasting. And the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting. See, they are truly righteous. They are observing the law and seeking God and fasting. But why aren't your disciples fasting? With this question, the religious Jews are in fact accusing Jesus and his disciples of falling short of what they believed God required of them. This is what religion does. It creates expectations which they think God requires of them. Can you notice the focus of their religion? Their focus was on doing and performing. Their focus was on observing laws and rituals. But the gospel of Christ was something new. It was faith in Christ Jesus alone. Now let us take some time to consider who the disciples of John and the Pharisees are. Why they are fasting and point you to their faulty religiosity. Who are the disciples of John? They are the disciples of John the Baptist. They followed John in his ministry, listening attentively to him as he baptized in the River Jordan. They would hear John preach a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. They came to an understanding of the sinfulness of their hearts, and therefore they saw their need to repent and be cleansed. Fasting in the Old Testament is almost always linked to sorrow and repentance and prayer. And so with sorrowful hearts and cries of incessant repentance, they would fast. This sounds good. Their fasting sounds sincere and honorable, because even Christ calls us to repentance. But was their fasting good? Was it necessary in this occasion? The disciples of John missed the point of what John preached in the wilderness. Remember, when Jesus came to where John the Baptist was, John the Baptist pointed his listeners, and especially his disciples, away from himself and directed them to Jesus, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John taught that he himself must decrease so that Christ must increase. And some of John's disciples heard the message of Christ and they began to follow Christ. They became Jesus' disciples. They were no longer John's disciples, but Jesus' disciples. But there were certain disciples of John who did not understand that John was only there to prepare the way for Jesus. These disciples longed for Christ to come, but they did not see that Jesus is the Christ. They did not understand it when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So while they waited for Christ to come, they were keen to prepare themselves for the coming Messiah by being eager in keeping the laws and following the traditions of their religion. They increased their devotion to their religion. They went the wrong way. They chose devotion to traditions and customs instead of looking to Christ. You see, their focus was on their religious traditions and customs. And this focus in the wrong place blinded them from seeing who Christ was and is. This was the faultiness of their religion. Their focus was inward to themselves and not outward to Christ. The religious devotion of the disciples of John was incompatible with the truth of who Christ is. Lost in their religiosity, when Christ came, they did not recognize him and even rejected and condemned his gospel. What about the disciples of the Pharisees? The Pharisees were ultra-religious. They feared God. They were so scrupulous in making sure they kept and followed the law of God. They would dot every I and cross every T of God's law in their pursuit of righteousness. Now, the fault of their religiosity lay in the fact that they had confidence in themselves, that they had gained righteousness by following the Old Testament to the T. They believed that the only way to God was by keeping every single law and more. They were stuck in the old. They could not see the new that Christ had brought. They were so proud of their piety and their observance of the laws that they believed they had managed to cover all the law, and so they even added more laws to be observed. You see, the Old Testament law only required one fast a year on the Day of Atonement, a day set apart by God where the high priest would come into the Holy of Holies and present before God the blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. But the Pharisees thought themselves to be so righteous that they added to the law. The Pharisees, in promoting their piety, designed a twice a week fast, and they required it of their disciples. If you are truly righteous, you will be fasting twice a week. To them, this was the test of their piety. This was the test of their sincerity. This was the test of their religion. You cannot mix this old religion with the new that Christ came preaching. The Pharisees added rules upon rules and fasts upon fasts, but their motives were not Godward. They did it for the sake of man and not God. They would observe all the law of God and extra so that they would receive the praise of man. Now, there were three things the Pharisees were great at doing. They were great at giving alms. They were great at praying, and they were great at fasting. But on these three things, Jesus gave an indictment against them. In your own time, I ask you to consider the Sermon on the Mount, especially the part in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. There you will see Jesus calls them out on their giving of alms. Jesus calls them out on their praying and their fasting. And then all three things, Jesus charges them as only doing these things in order to have glory from man, to be seen by man, and to appear before man as truly holy. This was the faultiness of their religious traditions and observances. They did it for the sake of man and for their own glory. See, religion puts the focus on man, taking it away from God. You cannot mix this sort of religion with Christianity. Because Christianity is putting the focus entirely on God and on Christ and on His Son and His Spirit. The religion of the Pharisees was incompatible with the gospel of Christ. The gospel is Christ-centered. It is of God, about Christ, the person of Christ, and the work of Christ. In Christianity, Jesus receives all the glory. No man can boast but in Christ alone. But with the old religious ways of the Jews, they were taken up by receiving praise for their piety. The Pharisees were so taken by their religiosity and the praise they received that when God in Christ came to them, they rejected Him and condemned Him to death on the cross. And so the disciples of John and of the Pharisees bring an accusation against the disciples of Jesus. Because blinded by their faulty religiosity, they had created an expectation with Jesus and His disciples fall short of. Why aren't they fasting with all the other religious, righteous people? And with that accusations, Jesus and His disciples are accused of not observing their religious fast. They are in a way accused of not being penitent for their sins. They are being accused of forsaking works of righteousness. They are being accused of choosing the things of the world to fulfill the desires of the body instead of denying the body in order to further one's spirituality and closeness to God. Do you have expectations of what Christians must be like? Do you have expectations of things that Christians must do in order to become more spiritual? Put those expectations away. Because the gospel of Christ, there's only one way, and that is to look to Christ. With that, Jesus addresses their wrong accusations and faulty religion. Jesus says in verse 19, it reads, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Jesus explains why His disciples are not fasting. He is clear. He uses an illustration that they would understand. You do not fast at the wedding. A wedding is not a time of mourning and sorrow. You see, there were even Jewish laws that made it illegal to fast during a wedding. The Jews saw the importance of a wedding as a celebration, a time of feasting and not a time of mourning. And so Jesus declares that His disciples are not fasting because the bridegroom is with them. Before the religious Jews, Jesus gives Himself the title of bridegroom. Bear this in mind. Nowhere in the Old Testament is the promised Messiah referenced to as being the bridegroom. However, you will find in the Old Testament there are illustrations of weddings describing the relationship between God and His people. So here, Jesus is claiming to be God. He's saying that He, the bridegroom, is here And it is time for celebration. This is a small but clear New Testament reference of Jesus claiming deity. In the presence of God, there is no need to fast. In the presence of God, it is time of celebration and enjoyment. With Jesus present, his disciples cannot fast. The religious Jews had a focus on their activities, traditions, rituals, and customs. They had missed the true focus of Moses and the prophets. They missed the true focus of what their own scriptures were pointing to. The Old Testament was written concerning Christ Jesus, the Son of God. But these religious Jews were too focused on their traditions and customs. They were so lost in their religiosity that they were at odds with the gospel of Jesus. Their religiosity did not bring them closer to God. If it had, they would realize that they had no need to fast because Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah they longed for, was there before them. Now notice that Jesus was not condemning the act of fasting. In fact, he prophesies that when he is taken from them, even his disciples will fast. Read verse 20. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Dear Christian, there is a place and a time for fasting. And we must give ourselves to voluntary fasting and prayer in our pursuit of righteousness. However, fasting and prayer is not a requirement for salvation. These things are beneficial and we can profit much from them. But the focus of Christianity, the focus of the Christian gospel is Christ Jesus alone. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to the religious Jews. The bridegroom is here, but when he is taken away, much fasting will be done. This here is the first reference by Jesus himself, pointing forward to his death. Jesus is saying that the time will come that he will be snatched away. This is reference to Isaiah 53, where it says, by oppression and judgment he will be taken away. Now, when this happens, his disciples will fast. They won't fast as a ritual, but they will do it voluntarily. But now is not the time to fast. Jesus was showing the religious Jews that his disciples cannot mix religious activity with his presence. It would be inappropriate for his disciples to fast while he was with them. The religious Jews had created expectations, but their expectations were inappropriate and incompatible with the earthly presence of Christ. This is so important to understand that Jesus illustrates it further. He gives us two parables. The first is this, verse 21. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. I personally don't know much about cloth and natural fabrics. But I believe that natural fibers such as wool, cotton, and linen shrink over time. So it is unwise to sew unshrunk new fabric to old unshrunken fabric. Because the new shrinking fabric would just pull away from the old, making the tear worse. Now what is Jesus saying? He is clarifying the faultiness of religiosity and its incompatibility with true saving faith found in Christ Jesus alone. Just as you can't mix unshrunk fabric with an old piece of cloth, they are incompatible. You cannot mix your religiosity with the gospel of the kingdom of God. See, the religion of the Jews, that was something old. Christ had brought something new. His gospel was the new cloth. You cannot mix the new cloth with the old. You cannot mix the gospel of Christ with the religious ways. Jesus came with a message of replacement, not a mix of old and new. They cannot mix the gospel into their religious Judaism. They cannot expect to continue with their traditions and customs if Christ would be their Lord. You cannot mix a gospel of grace with your religion of works. These two are incompatible. To mix both would create a confusion of opposites, making something worse, a religion that is far more broken. The second parable illustrates the same message. Verse 22. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. The Jews would have understood this metaphor. It was common knowledge that old wineskins could not withstand the fermentation of the new wine, bursting the old cracked wineskins, ruining the new wine. Again, it is not possible for the Jews to maintain their religious traditions and accept the gospel of Christ. In other words, you cannot pour the Christian gospel into the old, broken religion. You cannot be justified by keeping the law. You cannot pour grace into a religion of works. The religious Jews had put their confidence in their traditions and customs. They could not let go of them. You see, the gospel Jesus preached was new and better. The gospel is the new wine, the new covenant of salvation by grace through Christ alone. But the religion of the disciples of John and of the Pharisees was the old wineskin, something broken, something used, something that is not pleasing to God. The religious Jews were drunk in their old religious ways, hardening their hearts further from the gospel of grace brought by Christ. The gospel of grace speaks of a new birth. It speaks of the old man being done away with and a new man being made in Christ. Religion is something very hard to break away from. It ties you down to forms and structures, traditions and customs. But this is not what Christianity is. This is not what the gospel is. The gospel of grace is the truth that sets you free. It looses you from the chains of sin and death. Their religiosity was blinding them to the truth of the Messiah, that he has come and he is Jesus and that he is God, the Son of God. Religious rituals, customs, and traditions blinded them. You can't take the new and force it into the old structures. As a Christian, we are called a new person. We are reborn. We cannot force our new man, our new person into the old man. Christ here in our text is condemning the rituals and traditions and customs that have been developed against the truth of Scripture. Dear friends, what does this mean for us today? Simply put, you can't be a Christian and keep your old ways. Christ here demonstrates the religious Jews of his time, the incompatibility of his gospel and their religion. You cannot mix the gospel of grace with any other form of religion. You cannot accept the gospel and be sympathetic to the pillars of Islam. You cannot know Christ and applaud the tenets of Buddhism. You cannot follow Christ and agree with the ideologies and philosophies of this world. You cannot know Christ and continue to live in sinfulness. You cannot submit to Christ and hold on even to traditions that have been added as a tail of Christianity. The Christian gospel is like no other. In our text, Christ demonstrates to the religious Jews that he, God incarnate, has ushered in a new religion. A religion that transforms the heart of man entirely due to the person and work of Christ Jesus. Dear friends, as we have considered this text, ask yourselves, what is your religion? Is it based on traditions and customs? Is it based on what one does? Does it move about with the ever-changing philosophies of society and culture? Christ here has a response to such religion. How does he respond? He points us to something new and better. Namely, he points us to himself. You see, religiosity is a dangerous trap. It takes our focus away from what really matters and places it on traditions, customs, rituals, and rules made by man. Whereas true Christianity has no traditions. It has no customs, it has no rituals, and no rules set by man. And yet we can find that many of our churches are tied up by traditions and customs, where we hear people say, "This is how we have always done it." Religiosity creates a tendency of putting up expectations, where people's spirituality is often judged by whether or not they meet those expectations. Do you have certain expectations of what Christians must do? To receive Christ, you must first be made new. A new heart is given by God, founded on the person and work of Christ Jesus, the bridegroom who was present with his disciples. He was taken away from them, and so his disciples, Christians today, fast and pray. But he was taken away so that his blood would be spilt once and for all, the true and better sacrifice of atonement. His blood spilt is the wine of the new covenant. Jesus brought in a new religion, a religion of grace, where salvation is freely given to all who would hear Christ's call. In Christ we are reconciled to God, and Christ's righteousness is counted as ours. The work Christ did in his earthly life and on the cross is the only work that is necessary for righteousness. Religious traditions take the focus away from Christ Jesus. Christianity is about what Jesus has done and not about what we must do. There really is nothing we can do to add to what Christ has already done in our place on the cross. Religion hardens the heart, but the Christian gospel frees the sinner. Dear friends, let go of any religious tradition or custom you hold on to. Let go of your darling sins. Let go of anything that hinders you from looking to Christ, the author and finisher of the Christian faith. May our religion, may our Christianity be Christ. and Christ alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you that he came bringing something new, a gospel of grace, a gospel by which we sinners are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. Father, forgive us when we hold on to traditions and customs, when we hold on to our old self, when we hold on to the things that take us away from Christ. So help us, Lord, to look to Christ, and to gaze upon him, the bridegroom of his church. So thank you, Lord, again. We pray in your name. Amen.